Hi guys, and welcome back to the Noir Girl Experience. I'm Zaria.
And I'm Aziza.
And yeah, we're back yet again. I know it's kind of been a minute. We last recorded like the end of April, right?
Yeah.
It is now. What's today's date, Aziza?
June 2nd. But yeah, I mean, we were just dealing with quarantine, really.
Yes, sorry, life happens.
But we're back.
But we're back. And we're back here to remind you yet again, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a review and give us a rating, preferably 5 stars.
Five, please.
Please, it's very important. It gets us placement like on the charts. And it allows us to be more visible to other listeners. So, yes, we would really appreciate it if you haven't done that already and tell a friend to tell a friend to give us a review, period. So yeah, today is like another wild card type of episode. We asked you guys what we should talk about because obviously there isn't much like, well, there's news, but
Yeah, there's news. I think it's more pressing right now that we discuss those news. And so we just kind of want to like focus on things that's going on versus like a one specific topic.
Yeah, so we kind of just let the floor open instead of just talking about one thing the whole episode. We feel like we could talk about a bunch of different things in one episode. So, oh yeah, and we're still quarantined, by the way. Things are looking up though. Stuff is starting to open up. So hopefully I'm not even gonna put nothing in the air because I'm
Well,
tired of being disappointed.
New York is opening up June 8th. So New York is our like neighbor because we live in Jersey. And so we look to what New York does a lot because a lot of times we kind of mirror, like we work as a partnership. So they're
Yeah.
definitely opening up June 8th. And the news that has come out from our governor is that, a lot of different businesses are going to be opening up around like June 15th. I saw news where like we're going to be able to do outside dining, things of that nature. So things are definitely going to be changing this month, and we'll see how that works out for us.
Yeah, let's see. Aziza, when do you think you'll feel comfortable enough to like go sit at a restaurant?
Outside, I feel like I'd be more comfortable because there's more space outside. Indoors in them little booths, probably in the fall. That's
Yeah.
too tight, too close. I'm claustrophobic.
Yeah, I agree.
Like little like outside places, and they have like the little benches, and like they're so spaced out. I think I'd be cool with that. But I also think I've been so used to not going to restaurants. I don't think I'll ever go back for a while.
Right? Like, I'm gonna feel so weird in a restaurant.
Yeah,
Like,
I've
what?
just gotten used to not having to deal with waitresses and waiters
Oh, yeah.
and rudeness and just overall just uncomfortable ass
And I feel like,
experiences. But
especially like coming off of a quarantine, they're gonna be pressing. Like, if y'all don't understand what we're saying, these waitresses really be trying Aziza all the time. And I don't understand because it's really only her. Like, me, her, and our other friend Puka went out to eat one time, and the waitress literally pinpointed Aziza. Like, I cried. Like, are you serious?
yes, they're so mean to me, guys. I don't know why. But yeah, like I don't really need to deal with any especially you guys. Well, they're gonna be kind of pressed. They're already pressed. We see them on Twitter saying a whole bunch of stuff like, oh.
And we love the, this is no shade. We love the waitresses. We love a good waitress. We love a nice, humble waitress.
Yes, I love a great waitress. Give me recommendations that actually are good. Love that.
Friendly.
Friendly. Those are the memorable.
You know what else I realized, like, as we've gone on, like, trips and stuff, don't you feel like the waitresses and stuff in the South are just so much more pleasant? Why?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I've been to Georgia. So nice.
Florida. Yeah. Houston. So nice.
Houston, oh my God, so nice. I don't know, maybe because they think, because we're not from there, you think they was nicer to us?
No, but they, I feel like Southern people, they're just more polite.
Generally nicer. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, it's like, girl, what you want to eat?
Yeah, like, I got a whole, I got some other tables to tend to. And are you done? Like, are you getting something else?
What's the tip?
Yeah, like,
ew. Which I don't, it's a double-edged sword because I know it's very expensive to live up here.
Yeah,
but sometimes it's like, come on, girl, you don't got to be so mean, sweetie. We tip, though.
Being nice is
tip. Y'all need to tip, but yeah, let's just leave
I'm
that.
I'm not in a rush to go back, so.
Anyway. Obviously, like we said, it is now it's June, and we're in the middle of a lot of high tension things going on in America. We're gonna be discussing the whole Black Lives Matter. Of course, Black people are still being killed senselessly by the police and law enforcement and just racist people in general. Yeah, it's really unfortunate. We just lost George Floyd, which is kind of sparked all of this going on. This situation happened in Minneapolis. That word always gets me.
I feel like that word is like one of those spelling bee words, or
yes, right.
Yeah, it's just one of those words.
But, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Tongue twister.
Twin City. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the Black Lives Movement is just going full force right now, trying to figure out how we're gonna make a change, because it's just. Every day we're reading about another person dying at the hands of
racists.
Yeah,
you can't even say law enforcement specifically, because there's other cases where there is just random, it's regular citizens doing it. So yeah, like we said, George Floyd's death was really what sparked a lot of this, because it was caught on camera. Mm-hmm. And it was just so, like, I didn't watch the whole video, but from what I understand, it was like at least like 5 to 8 minutes of him just being like brutally suffocated on the street, yeah. Like in front of people in broad daylight.
I read it was 9 minutes. There were like 4 officers. It was broad daylight, like you said. 17-year-old girl had to film it to make sure right. that
a 17-year-old Black girl, which we need to circle back to that, because the girl came out saying she's traumatized now. Yeah. Of course, understandably.
But she knew she had to record in order to make sure that, you know, there's evidence.
Right. And then it's like people are like, this is just a sidebar. I don't like when people are like, oh, like, why do people record instead of helping? If it's a citizen versus law enforcement, what makes you think that a citizen could stop law enforcement from doing that in that moment?
What can a 17-year-old girl do to fight 4 big old men?
Exactly, with guns and batons, pepper spray, whatever else they have. Come on now, let's just use common sense here.
Of course, I mean, we would love to think that there's opportunity for someone to, like, save him. Like, we're, of course, as we were watching it, we're like, dang, like, we just wish somebody would have just spoke up. Somebody would have said something. But we really mean that as far as the police officers, because they're supposed to be protecting us.
Standing there, because I actually saw a video of a protester had a police officer on top of him. His knee was on his neck. And one of the colleagues stepped in and pushed him aside.
Literally, could have been another
same exact situation on camera. It's really sad, but I just feel like now, especially everybody's protesting cities across the, not even just country, because I saw some protests in the UK as well. I'm sure many other places are showing solidarity.
It's definitely worldwide. It's a lot of different communities. I've seen Amish people.
Yes.
Protesting, and, you know, that, to me, that's big.
Yes.
Seeing them actually come out of their small community to try to seek change all over the country, all over the world. I've seen there's different things, or like different bailout funds for, like, even in Hawaii, like, mm-hmm. everywhere. People are just sick and tired of seeing this type of thing, or having to deal with this kind of just negative situation. We just had the death of George Floyd, as you said, but we also had Breonna Taylor.
Yes.
She died a few months ago at the hands of police. We have
times in her home, in her bed,
as she was sleeping. We have Ahmaud, who was
Ahmaud Arbery,
who was shot by a father and son as he was trying to just have a jog in his neighborhood
in Georgia.
So and this is all happening in what, the span of like the last 2-3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And people are just tired.
Like, it's back to back. And it's not just that, it's also these videos coming out of the woman in Central Park trying, yes. to claim that a black man did this and this to her when he literally didn't do anything to her. Just countless videos of people instigating black people and trying to get them caught up with law enforcement, knowing that it could go very left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I feel like obviously we need to highlight others. There's actually a man who just died around last night, David McAddy. I don't know if I'm saying his name correctly, which is also in Louisville, which is where Breonna Taylor was killed as well. This man was actually, he had a barbecue stand apparently, and from what I read, he actually would like just feed people in the community, including law enforcement, for free. He was unarmed at the time that he was murdered, and they left his body out there for about 12 hours from what I read. So at this point, it's just like blatant murder of black bodies, disposing of them on the street and leaving them there.
As if it was like trash.
It's trash. Oh, okay. We'll get to it eventually.
Eventually. It's not important.
It's just very disrespectful. It's very disrespectful.
It hurts to see. It really brings personally my energy down. It has caused me to have to take a few breaks from social media.
Yeah, it's hard, man. And I feel like people don't understand that. Like, this, when I see shit like the George Floyd thing, I'm thinking, this could have been my father, this could have been my uncle. Like, this is somebody's family, this is somebody's brother, son, whatever.
Father, and this is somebody's father.
Yeah, like, you can't watch or hear about things. If that doesn't, like, hurt you, then I don't even know what to say. But of course it's going to hurt us, because we're black people, and, like, we know that at any moment this could happen to somebody we love, or even us, apparently.
Exactly.
Women are not exempt. Black women are getting killed as well.
Black women. Oh, and there's a lot of
it's not getting reported.
I was gonna say it's just not as publicized as other deaths, but there are a lot of Black women who have been killed at the hands of either police brutality or you know, like you said, racist.
Mm-hmm.
Racist regular citizens who feel that they are or we are less than. So we definitely support the movement that's going on right now. We definitely support bringing awareness to the issues and trying to seek change in the ways that, you know, we know how. We're angry. We're
Absolutely.
Hurt. We're disappointed. And things need to change because I don't need for this world to be the same when I bring kids into this world.
No. But unfortunately, it will be at the end of the day. Like, I don't know if this country will see a change in the next generation or the generation after that, because there's still, this kind of stuff is taught. People are teaching their kids off rip. Black people, they're this, they're that, they're a threat. They'll hurt you. They will harm you.
Mm-hmm.
Off rip. Like, they teaching that to kids. And if it's not that, it's Black people are less than you. They're beneath you. They're dirty. They're ghetto. They're this, they're that. I saw a thread on Twitter earlier of an Asian girl saying basically that she was taught from childhood by her family, her parents, that Black people are ghetto. Black people will steal from you. If you see a Black person coming towards you, cross the street, get away from them. So it's not just, and this is another thing that I feel like we need to talk about. It's not just white people. That narrative of it's white people. No.
No.
There's other races and ethnicities, however you want to break it down, that discriminate against Black people.
I'll have to agree on that one. I was just told a story just yesterday that, you know, my stepmother has experienced where her colleagues who may be of Asian descent and not realize that, you know, she has a family full of Black people.
Right.
You know,
because your stepmother's Asian.
My stepmother's Asian, exactly. So it's like they'll talk so much crap about Black people in front of her, thinking
she has Black children and a Black husband. Like, come on now. It's crazy.
And so it only stopped once they realized that she did. And now, of course, you know, she doesn't hear those stories again. But that doesn't mean that they're not talking. They're just now going to say, okay, we're not going to say it around her.
Mm-hmm.
But it showed what people's real perceptions of Black people are, not just white people, but Asian people and people of different ethnicities.
Yeah.
And this doesn't say that we're not saying this is everybody.
Right. And if you don't understand that, then honestly, I don't care. Because people would want to take offense to things so bad. Like, if we say there are some, we mean some. If the shoe fits, then wear it. But if it don't, and you know that you are not, you don't discriminate against Black people, you stand in solidarity with us, you support us, it don't have nothing to do with you.
Yeah. But I think people like to know that we understand that it's not everyone. Because then they think that we have a preconceived notion of, like, anybody that is of a different race. So that's why I'm like, let me just make that clear. I feel like some people actually do feel that way.
But at the same time, it could turn into very all lives matter. And blue lives matter.
That's not our stance on this podcast.
That's not the whole point. The whole point
is not what we're saying. Yeah.
Clearly, y'all lives matter. Ours do not, though. That's why we are just trying to say that we count. Why do y'all need to emphasize that y'all matter? The country already acknowledges the fact that y'all matter. We already know that.
It has been proven that y'all matter.
However, we are dirt. We are the gum underneath y'all's shoe. Why can't we say that we matter without people getting offended by that?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Like, y'all should really ask yourselves that. And let's just get into it, sweetie. Me and Aziza, we done went to school with some very dummy, racist people, apparently, because I never in a million years.
Well, we actually are realizing a lot of people's true perspectives and ideas as far as discrimination, racism, and all these other different topics as all these things are happening. Like, we're noticing and realizing, like, wow, we really went to school with some dummies.
It was even cool with some of these people, which is the most disgusting part to me. It's disgusting.
And that's what a lot of you listening will be starting to do. Like, you guys are going to be paying attention to the people around you and what their ideas or thoughts are on what's going on. And you're going to realize, like, some of the people that you were cool with really are not understanding our pain and not understanding what is going on and don't care.
There's dead ass bitches posting selfies and booty pics and them in bathing suits right now. Oh, okay. So this don't got shit to do with you, right? But you'll be the first bitch that's on Instagram rapping Future's album or twerking, trying to saying these be the girls that be like, oh, I like black boys, I like black men, da da da, saying the N-word. But when it comes to this, stuff like this,
stay silent.
It's crickets.
It's silent. And we're really, like, I don't know. I just feel like when we were realizing the people that we went to school with was just, like, this week was just so disappointed.
It's like, nasty. But you know what? I'm happy. I'm so happy. I don't need to, y'all don't even know how many people done got blocked, baby. Girl, if y'all knew some of the people I had to block. I was genuinely cool with some of these people, but it's just like, okay, now you're disgusting me. Like,
yeah.
If you can sit up here and talk about, oh, imagine being a cop in today's, at a time like this, where black people are getting murdered on the street. You put up a post talking about.
You want us to feel sorry about cops.
Cops going to work every day feeling they have a target on their back. What?
That's how we feel every single day. That's the whole point.
Imagine being a police officer in the United States in today's society. Are you sick in the head? Like, literally, imagine being us.
Like you said, the same people who are saying this is the same people who want to wear certain things from our culture. They want to kind of emulate certain people in our culture, but don't want to understand what we're going through as people right now.
They don't care. And that's why I said, I really pray that now black people are holding their non-black friends accountable more than ever. Me, I have black friends. So these people that I'm having to block, these people I'm having to block, unfriend, is nothing to me. Because at the end of the day, y'all not my friends. Guess what? The one non-black friend I have, you want to know what she did? DM me and ask me, hey, do you know where I can donate or what we can do to help the protesters? Come on, y'all friends would never. Y'all friends would never. Don't play with me.
Yeah, the non-black friends that I have, I've just seen them just show so much support, show that they're aware of what's going on and that they want to do something to help. And that's all, like, we're looking for. Like, we just want to feel like you guys understand us, you guys get us, and you guys want to help us get to a place where we see change as well. Not focus on anything else outside of that. Like, we're talking about lives here at the end of the day. We're talking about whole lives that are affected. And then there's a ripple effect when it comes to the families. So we're talking about a lot of people's lives affected by one person's decision to be a fucking racist. Ridiculous. If you see any stupidity on your social media profiles from anybody that you follow, block them. Mm-hmm. You don't need them.
Don't argue with these people. Come on. Don't try to argue. Black people, we're exhausted as it is. Don't argue with these racist people or these prejudiced people. Let them do what they want. We have more important things to worry about. We need to focus on supporting the families of these people, these victims, the best way we can. Showing up, protesting. Signing petitions. Do what you can. Do your part in some way or another.
Exactly. If you can, donate. If you can, share a post.
Yeah, share it.
Social media awareness is a big thing. There's a lot of different things you can do. And we're going to include a lot of different links that will help you trying to figure out anything that you want to do to help.
Any bail funds, any donation things we see for supplies or just support for victims, families.
We're going to include memorial funds.
Yes.
Just any links that we can find related to helping out this movement in any way we can. We're going to include that in the description.
Yes. Anything. Oh, we need to talk about the looting, baby. Let's get down to it, really. Come on. Let's get down to it. Y'all coons make me sick.
We have been, for the past few days, just like every single celebrity that is crying over their business, we have just been like, okay, done with you. Can't believe this. Cancel. Like, we're just over it. Because I'm sorry, we're not worrying about businesses right now when we have lives at stake here.
Merchandise can be replaced. Lives cannot.
And I understand, like, as a Black business, you work hard. It's not that many. As, you know, of course, as, like, these private companies, there's not that many Black-owned businesses compared to these private companies. I get it. But at the end of the day, this is an extreme situation right now. Nobody's focused on, whose business this is. Let's figure out where we should go. Right. Like, people are angry.
Let's preface this by saying, number one, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. People are out of work. 14% of America is on unemployment right now. The U.S. government decided, you know, we're going on month three of this pandemic. The government has given a one-time $1,200 payment to its citizens, and not even all citizens, because there's loopholes to it. You didn't get that check if you were a student, if somebody claimed you as a student.
Taxes. Yep.
As if things can't change between then and now.
And also, I believe if you hit like a certain income.
You hit a certain income bracket, you don't get it.
Yeah, you didn't get it.
And it was a one-time payment of $1,200. Some people have rent to pay. Some people have children. Some people are sex workers and they're not filing taxes. Or people are freelancers. They're not filing taxes necessarily. So we are in the middle of a global pandemic.
A lot of people affected.
Yeah. A lot of people are not living the way that humans should live right now. And y'all are worried about people looting luxury designer stores. Please just let that sink in. Stores that will follow y'all motherfuckers around that hoe if you walked in there.
Make sure that credit card, they gonna ask for a whole bunch of different
verification after verification.
Because they think you a scammer just because you're of a specific skin color.
Come on, stop playing with me. These people are delusional, and it's crazy that it's really Black people I see talking about, y'all just wanted to steal. It'd be the same people that be buying shit from boosters, same people who be fucking with scammers, people who have stole from Newport Mall. I know some of y'all have stole from the mall, and y'all are shaming looters right now in the middle of a global pandemic.
People are angry. People are angry, and they just wanted, you know, people just wanted to do some kind of crazy action because they're angry. At the end of the day, you either have some kind of insurance, so you don't have to worry about it.
The owner of Target said, these items can be replaced. At the end of the day,
we stand with the protesters. Literally, we stand with the protesters.
Y'all are mad that people looted out of Target. And let's just get this clear right now. It's not just Black. A lot of this stuff is being initiated by white people.
White groups. Taking advantage of the situation and feeling like they can do whatever they want because it's going to get blamed on
Black Lives Matter. They're tagging Black Lives Matter on businesses. I saw a video of white people tagging Black Lives Matter, smashing windows while there's Black protesters telling them to stop, begging them to stop. Don't piss me off. Come on, man. Y'all playing too much.
So stop worrying about the wrong shit. We need to be worried about the wrong shit. I don't give a shit about this looting right now. What I give a fuck about is why are the cops still haven't been charged for Breonna Taylor's death?
Period.
Why are the three cops that watched Derek Chauvin kill George Floyd still not charged with some kind of murder charge? That's what I'm worried about. I'm sorry. I don't give a shit that people looted Gucci.
Period. Where they at, to be honest? Period.
What is hitting for?
What we love a discount, sweetie. Period. Come on now.
It's just not
y'all mad. Scared, y'all like... the same people. How do y'all think that Black people got out of slavery? How y'all think African Americans got out of slavery?
But you know what they say? They like to say, oh, you making us look bad. You make your
I hate that.
Black people look bad. And we shouldn't be trying to keep this narrative going that Black people are thugs. And
We don't care.
The truth of the matter is we get that whether we do it or not.
There are scholars in the United States of America, doctors. I've seen articles where patients will deny a Black doctor saying, I don't want this doctor to touch me because her skin is brown. Man, kiss my ass. Y'all niggas is crazy. Y'all are insane. Who cares how these people see us? You could be the smartest of smart, the richest of rich. They don't care.
They don't care. And that leads me to just talk about some of these celebrity responses to what's been going on. A lot of them have been claiming, that's what a lot of these celebs' argument is. Oh, this is not what Black people should be doing. This is not how we want to be looked at. This is not how I want people to view us. Blah, blah, blah.
It's very classist. You know what's crazy? Certain Black people get a little bit of money, and now it becomes class before race to them. It becomes, I don't associate with you low class Negroes.
Yeah, you ratchet hoes. I'm over
y'all are
that.
Ratchet. Y'all are ghetto. I have money now. I'm closer to the whites essentially now because I have money. No, baby. Guess what? Money or not, they're still looking at you crazy. Like you're a thug. Like you're a thief. Like you're whatever else they think about us, God knows. Mm-hmm. So it's very disheartening to see these rich people talking down on people on the front lines. It's very embarrassing. And yeah, I just can't believe it.
Yeah. I feel like let's start. What are some of the responses that you've been seeing? Like, we know the real crazy one with Shekinah crying. We looted the Gucci store, and Tory Lanez had to get her together.
A Canadian man had to gather this woman from Georgia. You're from the South, bro. You telling me you don't, like, what don't you get? You're crying over Gucci.
He asked her, have you been out there?
Are you with the protesters? Have you done your part? Not. It's crickets.
That was, no, not yet. I haven't done that. This, that, and third. What Gucci ever done to you? That was her in her video crying. What Gucci ever did to you?
Have y'all seen them blackface cops have things?
We could talk about that, but she also said, what Atlanta cops ever do to you? So now you talking about what Gucci done to us, which, like you was just saying, we was just dealing with the blackface controversy last year, trying to get them canceled. And police brutality is what we're trying to fight here. So that's not what we want to hear. What are you doing to help us? You ain't protesting, and you just yelling at this man who actually is protesting.
Who's protesting, who's spreading awareness, who's
speaking out about the injustice. You want to yell at him and get upset because he called you out.
It's degrading to me. It's degrading. It's very degrading, sweetie. I don't get it. Who else we got written down here?
We got Harvey.
Lori Harvey, sweetie, you got hit with the unfollow. I'm so sorry. You're a very beautiful girl. Beautiful gowns. Beautiful girl.
But those brain
worms are in your brain, sweetie. You sitting up shaming these looters from the comfort of your multi-million dollar home. Talking about Atlanta, y'all went too far. How far did you go, though, sweetie?
What have you done? Because I can't even remember if she has even posted anything regarding the regarding any of the latest events. And then she's talking about her friend's store, who
DK got looted.
Yeah, two black at this point, own the store and claim allegedly that their store was looted by protesters in Atlanta.
However, child, Twitter done spilled the tea talking about these women are lying. They put one of their employees up to do the looting. I'm not saying that's true or not. I don't know how that,
is.
They do have a store in Buckhead, so that is in the area. However, this is what the streets are saying. Don't come for me. I don't know how true this is. But regardless, if they put somebody else up to do it or if an actual looter did it, they have a GoFundMe for $100,000 in, you know, to fix the damages. And they also, y'all also said y'all have insurance, right? Okay, y'all be just fine. I'm pretty sure y'all are just fine in probably your penthouse in downtown Atlanta, where these looters don't have the money. Like, what don't y'all get about capitalism? What don't y'all get? We live in a country that does not care about poor people. And once you niggas get a little bit of money, y'all separate yourselves as if that was never you. It is really disgusting.
And granted, it is disheartening to know that a black-owned business was affected, allegedly. But the fact of the matter is, we all are affected right now. We all are going through stuff. And this may be just a casualty to a situation, but you can turn it around and understand why. And understand people's need to just do something because they're so angry. Look at Heather Sanders. Her story
was very... I have her a lot of respect for that woman. Heather Sanders, she owns Sorella Boutique. And her store, it's on, I believe it's on Rodeo. It's on one of them popular shopping streets in Los Angeles. And her store, of course, the windows got damaged or whatever. And she made a post, obviously, about it. But in the last slide of the post, she made sure she said, but I still love being black, though. Period. At the end of the day, Heather is fine. Yeah, she has to replace her windows and maybe whatever property or products got damaged or stolen.
Yeah, of course it hurts to see your business affected, but at the end of the day, she knows there's bigger shit to worry about right now.
And it's just disgusting when I see people like fucking Virgil Abloh. You're upset that people looted your store. And then you want to turn around and donate $50. $50. Where I know...
Please explain what he... Who is he? So for the people that don't understand how much money this man have, if you don't... If you're not aware. This man,
I believe he is the, what, creative director of Louis Vuitton at this point in time. He is best friends with Kanye West. That's basically says all you need to know, sweetie. Google him if you want to know more.
$50.
Proudly. He said matched to whoever tagged him in the challenge. Matched. $50 on Cash App, sweetie. I know people who are unemployed right now that donated more than $50.
Oh my goodness. And he was so proud. And it's, and don't get me wrong, every dollar counts. But if you are the creative director of Louis Vuitton, do you think I'm supposed to praise you for donating $50? We have Drake donating $100,000.
We have The Weeknd. King, African King, donating $250,000. That is pennies to y'all niggas. Why are y'all like, why, Virgil, why are you spitting in our face?
He also the CEO of Off-White. That's the one, yeah. I know him from. Off-White.
Them tacky ass Off-White.
Expensive ass clothes.
It gives basic, it gives tacky, and you charge $100 for two binder clips when you couldn't donate $50 to a cause that affects your people. Oh, and let me pull up what this man put as an apology or whatever it was at the end of the day. He said, I'm not even reading this whole thing because it's given essay, but let me say what the first part. He said, let me start with a few central facts. I'm a black man, a dark man, a dark black man, like dark, dark. On an average trip to the grocery store in Chicago, I fear I will die. The risk of literal death is the normal walk of life for us. I almost live as if I'm walking on my tiptoes. This is the part. It was this part for me. When I apply for a job, I fear I won't get it. This is where the classism and the capitalism really hits for me, because the jobs you're applying for is creative director of Louis Vuitton. That's already privilege in itself.
Mm-hmm.
You talking about when I apply, those are the jobs that you're in a position to apply for. What about the man that's trying to work in an office? A predominantly white office, or a woman.
Yeah, the whole corporate world is predominantly
corporate, so America in general.
Yeah, so anyone who, a lot of us minorities who go to school and want to work in corporate America have to deal with this. Have to deal with the fact that we have a less chance of getting hired because of our race. And do he hire people of minority?
Oh, you want to see who's the team for Off-White? Sorry, y'all not gonna see this because me and Aziza are on FaceTime. I mean, on video call. But I'll show you. It's all white people. It's all so white.
The same jobs that you know you feel like you're not gonna get, you don't give an opportunity for other minorities who may have the same situation as you, or may feel the same as you, you don't feel the need to give them opportunity. But you want us to praise you for $50 donation.
It's really sick. This nigga threw a dinner. I wonder if you could see this, Aziza.
I sure can. Oh, wow.
He said, all the art directors of Off-White, crazy, crazy, crazy talented crew of kids.
I'm sure they're not talented, but I don't want to hear you tell me that you can't get a job or you fear that you won't be able to obtain a job and you...
And you talking about when I walked through Chicago. So what part of Chicago
do you want? Southside?
You're not in Southside, boys. Talk my fear when I go to the grocery store. Oh, is that because you're in the more rich area, the privileged areas?
Please.
Oh, okay.
I can't even discuss this anymore. But this is just to say that what celebrities are doing and saying, like, we are noticing and we are like, you're done. You're
y'all canceled. Getting unfollowed and blocked, whether you a celebrity or not. Honestly, 2020 is death of the celebrity. Fuck yes. These people, because half of them are dummies. Y'all need to stop idolizing these celebrities. It's degrading.
Really understand how they really feel and what's their true value.
Take. Shout out to Kehlani, been on the front lines, been very vocal, not afraid to speak her mind. Shout out to Tinashe as well. I saw her dragging Lana Del Rey.
Right, yeah. Ariana has been protesting.
Ariana was on the front lines, period.
Let's give some praise to Wale because he feels like no one ever praises him.
Yeah, let's
shout out Wale.
Wale
on the front lines as well. We saw you, King. Okay.
We saw you, King. We appreciate you. We already know this shit though. Like we know Wale cares about his people.
But you know,
we never will take that away from him. But you don't have to shade Jermaine. Don't do Jermaine.
You know, he can't do anything. If you guys don't know what we mean, it's just that, you know, Wale just had to come back at a Twitter follower who made a statement that, you know, noticing that J. Cole was out there on the front lines and said, where was he? And he got upset.
Went off per usual, like a Virgo nigga do, period.
So we just want to make sure we call that out. We see you.
We appreciate you, King. Shout out to J. Cole as well. He always does his part. Much respect, much love to him.
Not looking for attention,
none of that. Like he been doing his shit. So shout out to him. Who else? There's a lot of people. Portia
and Dennis been bailing out people in Atlanta.
Yes.
All weekend long. Nathan from Insecure.
Period. King is on the front line.
His name is Kendrick.
Kendrick, yes. Shout out to Kendrick.
He's really doing his part. And we just thank everyone. We thank everyone who's been able to use their
platform. And for the non-blacks that are doing their part.
We thank you as well.
We see you and we appreciate you as well. So yeah, like we said, we'll put all as many links or whatever as we can to any petitions or donation links. Please try to help out in any way that you can.
Yeah, a lot of these bailout funds are also providing like links to different organizations
or resources, because a lot of the bailout funds are getting a lot of support, which yep. is great. I love to see that. I'm really,
so
really
they're even directing you as to other ways that you may not have thought of to support and you know, help out in any way that you can. So there are still so many tons of different organizations to donate to, and so yeah, we're gonna share all of that with you. Yes. Remember, Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter, sweetie. If we see y'all posting All Lives Matter, you're done. Period.
Yeah.
Don't piss us off. But I would assume that...
Don't piss us off.
I hope whoever listens to this podcast is off-rip Black Lives Matter. Like, I would hope that's our demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Ciao. Anyway, more into some other racial news. Miss Doja Cat, sweetie. Miss Doja was caught up.
She
If
was
you don't know, first of all, if you don't know who Doja Cat, because a lot of people don't know who Doja Cat is, which I guess that kind of makes sense.
At this point, I don't know, though, because she had a number one song in the country.
Yeah, but if they're, like, older, like, I can't guarantee you that my sister knows who Doja Cat is. Like, I don't know.
Interesting. Okay, well, she's an upcoming rapper.
A rapper, singer.
Biracial.
She's singing, too.
Yeah, she be singing. Biracial. She just had our number one single, Say So, featuring Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
So she is on the up and up. TikTok.
Her album, I can't cap, man. I'm not going to cap.
That's good album.
Good, man. Good album. She's very talented.
Running TikTok.
She runs TikTok. She's very talented. She makes a lot, like most of her own beats. She's just very talented. However, Sweetie was caught up in the Tiny Chat streets, which I don't know too much about Tiny Chat, but I do know you can like do like there's like chat rooms, you could do like video chat groups with different people.
Yeah, it just seems like an old school chat room.
Yeah, like an old school chat room
just with video.
Yeah, with video and all kind of different like rooms that you can go into.
Yeah, and then you just go in and then now everyone's just boxes and
yes. So she was caught on Tiny Chat in groups with racist white men and incels, which a lot of people may not know what incel is. Incel, do you have the definition, right?
Yes, I do. So
incel stands for involuntary celibate.
Yes.
Right.
So it's a person, usually male, who has a type of personality that many women do not like. And so they also have a lack of a sex life. And yeah, so they're just really just not, I'm sorry, this,
we gotta see some shady stuff, right?
I should not have done the Urban Dictionary definition.
Don't read it if it's problematic, because they hate women, basically, child. That's yeah. What you need to know. Yeah. Look up on YouTube. I had to inform myself as well. There's a few, like, documentaries and stuff with incels explaining what they are, different situations with incels. Yeah.
They like to degrade them, period.
Yes. So she was in these Tiny Chat groups with incels, and just like saying racially charged things, saying the hard ER, sweetie, hard ER.
While she shows her ass,
shows her booty, she's like touching herself, moaning. It's very, I don't know,
degrading.
It's very degrading, actually. Very.
And on top of all of that, she actually has an unreleased song that pretty much kind of mocks people who have been affected by police brutality. And
Didn't do nothing, which if y'all heard this phrase before, please tell me, because I never heard this in my life until I went on Rap Genius, the thing that be explaining the lyrics. I said,
and how this is like a play on making fun of
people who are caught up with law enforcement, and they say, I didn't do, is using African American, like, Ebonics.
Yeah.
And how we say, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. It's like, didn't do nothing, but didn't do nothing. So she has a song called Didn't Do Nothing, and she's just basically talking about, like, I don't know. But I will say that she was referring to herself in the song. That's what confused me. But I just, when I looked up this word and this phrase, and I saw images of blackface and, like, those, what do you call, like, those little dolls where it's, like, blackface and they have, like, the really wide...
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Smiles,
I know.
Like those images were coming up, and I'm like, oh hell no.
She's like the real historical way that we were characterized.
Yeah, it's like black characters.
Yeah.
That's what was coming up.
Made us into like caricatures.
Yeah, no, I wasn't feeling that. But she came out and apologized and said that she has never meant to do anything racist. She's half South African. If you look up her name is actually very African as well.
Yeah, I mean, her dad is African, and you know, but she was also, people were coming at her for those things and also her comments about her 4C hair.
Yes, her thing.
So much coming out at one time that made her really look anti-black.
Yes.
But as you said, you know, she just tried to kind of be like, well, I am black and I love being black. And although critics feel like she only wants the parts of her that are black that she feels make her look, quote unquote, what, exotic was like the word?
Like a that she embraces that like thick light skinned girl thing because it helps appeal to black people and black men. I don't know. I'm not about to dive deep into that. All I'm gonna say is that I feel like I don't know if she is into that race play type of stuff. She claimed that she's not. That's what I justified it as when I first saw it. I'm like, that's what my brain automatically went to. Like, oh, she's into race play.
I felt like she was pretty much like liking the interaction of them like degrading her and then she degrades them back. And
yeah,
like, is about her race and using those type of terms like the ER and everything. So yeah, I agree. I thought it was a race play. And I just thought maybe they were saying they must be saying some other kind of crazy things in that chat that we probably just don't even know.
Yeah, she was saying that isn't allowed, but it's like, girl, if you're in a chat with all white men and it's like a racially driven, like people have said those specific rooms are meant for racist banter and language. And
that's why they choose that platform.
Yes, absolutely, because it's not like filtered where say like Twitter may or may not kick you off.
Yeah.
So that part of it was just very much, I don't know, she didn't address herself saying the hard ER, which I mean, it's up for debate whether or not you feel like black people should use the hard ER, whatever. But I just felt like the context was weird. Like, why are you saying
to white people,
the phrase she said was "S my." If you don't know what S is, I'm sorry. I'm
SMD.
Not SMD N word, but the hard ER.
Mm-hmm.
To a group with all white men.
So it just doesn't understand. We just don't get it. And the crazy part about it is, in her apology, I just felt like she was focusing on the wrong things because she was wanting to talk about the fact that people were making fun of her for dating white men. And
that's irrelevant.
Yeah, which we feel like you said, it's irrelevant. Granted, people were saying that on Twitter, but that's not what we care about. We care about, why are you saying these kind of terms? Why do you have a song that is using this, that is named after such a derogatory phrase? And the timing of the song, too, was right after Sandra Bland's death. So you're looking very...
It doesn't look good.
You're looking very crazy.
I get it, but it's just like... Because I don't know what it's like to deal with, like, on both sides having, like, that white people saying you're, you know, you're too black and whatever. And then black people, like... Because some biracial people do have that experience, I guess, of not feeling like they fit in. I get her probably wanting to, like, fight back to that. But it's just like, girl, you have to do everything, like, in taste. Like, it's not really tasteful. I don't really know where we go from here with Doja Cat.
Especially with the timing of it all. I mean, she was dealing with it for maybe about a day or two. And then we have bigger things to worry about as a nation.
Yeah. And Megan and Beyonce replaced her at number one anyway. So
at this point, it's like, I don't really know what's going to happen there, but our minds are elsewhere at this point. But right. We're always going to remember this now. And right. I can't even listen to Juicy without thinking about, you know, her feeling like, I want to portray this specific body and things and play on the fact that I'm light-skinned and do all of this, but then, you know, let people call me the ER or want to have that floating around while I'm in the... Like, I wouldn't even want no one to say that word around me.
It is very weird. It's weird.
No one could say that word around me. Like, I'm not into it. That would make me extremely uncomfortable. So, at this point, I get uncomfortable even thinking about Doja, but... Remains to be seen what's going to happen there.
Yeah. Hopefully, I don't know. I can't even say hopefully. I don't know, child. If you cancel, you cancel. It's not up to me.
The streets say she canceled, so.
Right. There's nothing I can do for you, girl.
Who else is canceled?
It's a lot of niggas that's canceled after this stuff. Baby, they canceled.
Oh, my God. They canceled everybody.
They said, they got a list. They said,
Wait, they got a list? Seriously?
Yes, child. Let me find.
They don't want us to forget because there's just so much going on. They don't want us to forget.
They said, yeah, they definitely had Lori Harvey up there. They had, they tried to put Beyonce on that list. Come on.
What did she do?
I said, come on, child. They had the baby on there, which
I don't agree.
No comment. They
I won't give it to the baby. He don't need to be canceled. He just need someone to come in and give him just a little bit more insight and just a little bit more understanding. And I think he could understand what's going on better than others.
Right. But it's also, like, how can you sit up here and say, oh, like, I like to wait until things have settled before I, like, make a statement on something when you literally get into it with police every other week?
But I think he was talking about the fact that there are some people who he claims are just making statements based on what their person says. So it's like... He doesn't want anyone to feel like what he says is ingenuine. Maybe because as he's been in the industry, he's realized there are a bunch of celebrities that do that where it's just like, oh, something happened. Hey, PR person, what should I say?
Yeah.
Versus like something he feels is more genuine. I think that's really what he meant. I just don't think he words things correctly. I don't think he's able to, I don't think he's a great communicator, but I think he had better intentions than some of these other celebrities that definitely deserve to be canceled.
They had Odell saying that violence is not the answer. I never cared about what Odell Beckham Jr. had to say. Never did. Never once.
Yeah. Next.
Next. They had Madonna, child. Who the hell cared what the hell Madonna said? But she really tried to have that black child up there dancing like that. Oh, you didn't see it?
No, I didn't see it.
I'm about to show you.
Oh, gosh.
She said brutal
murder. The listeners are going to have to go watch this now, too.
She said brutal murder travels around the world. My son, David, dances to honor and pay tribute to George and his family and all acts of racism and discrimination that happen on a daily basis in America. It's the black child, mind you.
Is that Michael Jackson in the background?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Oh, please take this off.
That's what she put up.
Oh my God.
Who cares? Whoever cared what Madonna. Oh, we forgot about baby Shameik. Shameik Moore.
He had an interesting view on this shit for sure. Please say the least. Get into this.
I'm not about to keep this going because I just can't with these dummies. This man said, why didn't Rosa catch a black owned cab service instead of the bus? He said he know how to handle himself in a situation with the police, and y'all need to fall in line, period. Y'all niggas don't know how to act.
As our listeners, I just need y'all to understand what she just said. She just said that he said, why didn't Rosa take a black old cab?
In the 1950s, correct? Or 60s?
Instead of fighting for her seat on the front of the bus. Child.
He said we should avoid situations that's going to get us killed.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe it when I first heard it.
So we need to avoid, Breonna Taylor should avoid going to sleep in her house.
Ahmaud should just never take a jog.
Yeah, we can't jog. As black people, we can't jog.
We can't jog. Mm-mm.
We can't jog, we can't sleep, we can't go to the store for some Skittles. We can't do nothing, period.
We can't do nothing. We can't go to a party. We can't do nothing. We can't have nothing. We need to just be nothing so we can avoid death, as Shamik says. Ho Chow. He should be at the top of the list.
It's degrading. I'm off these people. I don't want to talk about them no more.
I think the only thing to laugh about is really Santana.
No, we don't. I'm not talking about Santana because I love Santana. I'm sorry. Aziza, stop.
All right. We won't talk about Santana, but because we really do love him.
Look it up if y'all want to know.
Yeah. Santana really been
doing He donated more than Virgil.
For real. He donated, period. He donated $110, period.
Period.
That is.
Period. What did Virgil do?
$50.
Y'all support. Y'all gonna support. Y'all need to go stream Walk 'Em Like a Dog. And up and down.
And up and down. Mulatto. Mulatto did some stuff too.
Mulatto too. Shout out to Mulatto.
And did some stuff too.
Big Lotto.
All right. We moving on.
We need to move on. Okay. So the next thing y'all wanted us to talk about, how do we stay happy during quarantine, which this is going to be very quick because, baby, who's happy?
I'm sorry. I don't have no tips, tricks, nothing for y'all. I'm just like, I don't know. Quarantine is defeating me, man. I don't know what to do. Quarantine is winning, child. I can't help with this topic.
We be trying, but I just feel like you have to find little things that get you through the day. I feel like if you focus on, and I'm not saying I'm happy because I'm not. I'm just saying what keeps me alive, what's kept me alive and willing to live during this quarantine. You have to find something every day that you enjoy, at least one thing, whether it's a good meal. My sister gave me her diffuser, and that's really been helping me because, like, I put, like, the essential oil in it. Right now I've been using the peppermint oil, and it's just very relaxing to me. I ordered some more, so I ordered, like, some lavender.
It's a diffuser. It's, like, for the air.
Yeah, like you put water in it and then you put the essential oil in it and it's like a steam will come out and distribute throughout the room. Yeah. So they say like certain scents, which they really do. The peppermint has helped me. I ordered like a pack with like lavender.
I was gonna say, because I feel like I love lavender. I feel like lavender calms me.
Yeah, it's like those calming scents that you could just get. Diffusers are cheap on Amazon. So order you a diffuser, get you some essential oils, or I also have been doing yoga at least twice a week, which does help me after I do it. It's just hard for me to actually get on the mat because like I'm lazy and obviously not as disciplined as I usually would be, but when I do the yoga, I do honestly feel a lot better. Just stretching, a lot of us are just home sitting or laying a lot. So it's good to like move your body around, get those like kinks out. Like, you know, when you like stretch and you feel something just crack, that'd be feeling so good, man. Mm-hmm. So do that. Besides that, me and Aziza engage in very unhealthy activity that we don't suggest.
Period. I like to drink.
We don't suggest these things to others, but
I like to drink.
If you want to drink, I be on demon time. I can't lie.
Look. Period. I don't know what else to say. Like, I still do what I've been doing. I be on FaceTime. I drink my wines. I really do a lot of binge watching nowadays. And it's really making me, like, I don't know. It's just really intriguing to me now, watching these different reality shows and getting into all of these different couple stories. So those are the type of things that are interesting for me. What else I've been doing? I be dancing in my house. It's so fun.
Yeah.
She do be dancing in my house.
Music.
I'm not a dancer. I'm just saying, I'm just dancing, having fun, because nobody's watching, like they say. Dance like nobody's watching, you know that phrase?
Uh-huh.
That's what I be doing. And it be fun. I love it. I also have been really working on my skincare regimen. And so, at night, one thing that makes me happy is putting my speaker connected to my Spotify, playing some music and just relaxing as I'm doing the whole regimen, you know, starting with the cleanser and the toners and the serums and things of that nature, you know, really getting into that routine of it all. It's really helping me and making me feel like I'm doing good and I'm doing things that's gonna make me better in the end of it. So
besides that, I really don't know, sweet.
Find a new show to watch, okay? We're gonna start Prison Wives Club together.
Yes, we've been watching stuff together. We watched Too Hot to Handle. Oh, get the Netflix
Party extension.
Yes, extension.
I love that.
It's so good to watch stuff with your friends. Y'all could comment in the chat on the side. It's so good. It's so good.
And if you're like Zaria and I, it will make the show 10
It'd
times.
It'd be so funny. The chat be so funny. Yeah.
We'll either notice something that the other didn't, or our comments would be just so funny that it just makes the entire experience so much better. So yeah. We actually need to find a new Netflix show to do that again with.
Yes.
I'm telling you, find a new show to watch. There's so much content at this point now because people are releasing so much because they know we're in quarantine. You can definitely find something that you'll enjoy.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm currently just on the 90 Day Fiancé binge craze right now, starting from the beginning to the end. They have so many different spinoffs, and so I'm just like having a time of my life right now. 90 Day Fiancé and all of his shows, but you can definitely find something on Netflix. There's Hulu. Or bootleg like we do sometimes.
Yeah, miss the world premiere. Cough, cough.
Don't say we never did nothing for y'all.
Right, we put y'all on. Turn your ad block off real quick. Anyway, next question that we got was, do we think that getting into a relationship during quarantine is a bad idea? What do you think, sweetie?
I don't think it's a bad idea. I think you just need to be open-minded and understand that this relationship, the way that it's going to build, is going to be completely different than any other relationship you have tried to build in the past. Like, everything is different now. Unless you're one of those people that just be like, I don't give a shit if it's quarantine, come over. And you're still seeing each other in person. It's going to be completely different. Like, the normal time frame for a relationship to turn physical becomes completely, like, warped because you can't even see each other in person. So it's like, you just need to be open to that. But I'm a hopeless romantic, so I'm going to say that I'm always going to believe that a relationship can happen in any environment, any time. It just has to be the two people needs to be open to it, and you're going to have to put in a little bit more work.
Mm-hmm.
This is so easily to kind of... I forget about text messages now sometimes, because it's just like, sometimes I'm on it because I have nothing to do, but then other times you're just in the house and it's just, it's very easy to get sidetracked and not, you know, put that much focus into building this relationship with this new person. But it's definitely possible. I mean, I see a lot of people around me that is, you know, happening for them. So, listener, you got this. Because I feel like a lot of people can relate to this question right now.
The shade of it all. What do I have to say about this? What do I have to say?
You have to say that it works if you put the effort into it. And
yes,
it's going to work. That's what you have to say.
Yeah, Aziza said it for me. Thanks. Thanks. No, seriously, in all seriousness, I feel like if you were dating this person prior to quarantine, but y'all made sure, like, you keep in contact, you, like,
put in that effort.
Yeah, you put in the effort. You keep things, like, fun. As fun as possible, obviously. You can't really, like, hang out in person. But if you just put in the effort, I feel like, yeah, why not? Like, there's people who get into relationships who are long distance, who are in different countries, different states. Like, who cares? Like, just do it. If it feels right to you, do it. But like I said, it's definitely a lot of work. And if you are a person who requires a lot of just like attention, or you feel like you give a lot of effort and you want that reciprocated, you gotta make sure this is the right person, because that's a big deal.
For real. And in the different stages of a relationship, like, this quarantine really affects it. So, like, for me, where it's like I'm just getting to know guys, it's so much more easier for me to be like, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
sometimes I can't connect. Like, and I think it's because of the quarantine and just the amount of long time that I've just been in the house. It's like, a person's just not able to catch my eye, I feel like, faster.
Yeah. Or
in a middle of a relationship where, like you said, you guys already were talking and now you're into, like, that stage where you're trying to figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
It just may affect, like, you telling yourself, do I want to make that final step? Like,
yeah.
Do I want to go all the way with it?
Yeah.
But I like something that you always tell me. It's just like, you know, just find time to communicate and you kind of see different things.
Create a schedule. I would say for me, what's been helping me a lot in my situation is like, just
even with the schedules, it's like you just find interesting things to talk about, and it's
exactly.
You get so fucking bored.
If you have to keep it, like, have a variety of things.
Somebody,
like,
ask me how I'm doing one more time, I'm gonna
or
what you do today one more time.
It gets boring, and I get tight when people ask me what am I doing. Don't ask me what I'm doing, really. Like, are we doing the same shit, probably? Like, it's boring. Like, you gotta switch it up. For me, I like having a lot of variety, and that's really been helping me get through quarantine. Just having, like, different days for different things. Like, if you guys want ideas, I guess I could put y'all on a little bit. Like, we'll have, like, one day of, like, a quarantine date night. So, like, it's different date ideas. Whether that's you guys doing a Netflix party, or just, like, telling each other your favorite movie, It's different things. Like, you can make it up for yourself, but like, pour up a drink, get on FaceTime, whatever. Also, you could do like prompts together, like little like journal prompts, different questions that you might want to ask the person you're dating. That's a good idea as well. You could do like a little book club where you guys read a book together. You'll say like, oh, we're going to read one chapter by this date. Let's talk about it. You could do music, send each other playlists, whatever. It's so much stuff that you can do to keep busy. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot that could be done. And it helps you get to know the person on a different level. Like, you know what kind of music they like. You know what kind of shows they watch. What kind of books they read. If they know how to read.
Which is very important to know.
Very important. Make sure the person you're dating knows how to read, unless you don't care about that. If you don't, it's totally fine. But, yeah, that's just my little thing there on dating during quarantine. It's very possible.
Definitely reach out to us if you guys have either started dating someone in quarantine or was dating someone. Yes.
Or if you met. And I want to know if y'all have been meeting people during quarantine, because I'm hearing that people is meeting up and linking up and humping during quarantine. And I'm like, we're in a pandemic and y'all is, I'm not shaming, but I want to know the tea. So tell us.
Definitely tell us. Give us all the tea. We want to hear from you.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Very excited for the tea.
The next topic, somebody we went to middle school with wants us to talk about some school memories. So I'd be very curious to know what you think. If you guys don't know, me and Aziza went to middle school and high school together in like a year of college together. So we got some school memories, child.
For sure. So many. Are we trying to go happy? What kind of memories?
Let's go happy because I am tired of the depression. Please.
You remember when you taught me how to sew in fashion class?
In high school? I taught you how to sew on the machine or hand sew?
No, machine girl. Ooh, I still don't know. So, but our teacher was like, she gave up on me. She couldn't take it. I was just
my talent.
I was really one of the worst.
My influence.
I was one of the worst students in fashion class.
Yeah, because you didn't care. I feel like you knew that that shit wasn't for you.
I wanted to learn, or I wouldn't have joined fashion.
I also feel like, I will say this, like, because we mentioned this before, we went to like a vocational school. Everybody had like a different like trade that they learned and majored in. For me, mine was fashion from freshman year. And I don't know, like, I already knew how to like sew on a machine and shit. So that wasn't as hard to me. But I feel like not every student needs to know, like, not every fashion student needs to know how to sew. You get what I'm saying? Because there's other aspects to it. Like, you could draw really well, or you could like do patterns, like you could like put sometimes outfits just together
visually.
Yeah, like creative direction. Yeah, it's a lot of different aspects to fashion, but I feel like when you go to school for it, it's kind of like you have to know how to sew. You need to know how to deal with patterns and do all this different stuff, and it's just like, that's not for every student. So I feel like when you came into fashion, was that like sophomore year or junior year? Yeah, I feel like it was just like we had already been in the program for
and I was coming in, I don't know, I was doing anything. I switched my major so many times in high school just trying to learn something. I was like everywhere. So I don't know what I was thinking. I think I just wanted to learn how to sew, but it didn't work. But you tried. Like, you showed me and I had got it, but it was still terrible. I still have that dress somewhere that we made for that fashion show that year. It's in my closet somewhere.
Yeah, I have a lot of my fashion pieces, but yeah, I will say, I don't remember me being the one teaching you, but I could see that though, because that class is very much like do what you want type shit. Like, we had a lot of freedom.
To pause you and be like,
Especially by the time you came, it was just like, okay, I'll help her, like, whatever. For me, what memories do I have? I have a lot of like bus memories from us being in middle school when I did actually catch the bus, the number four bus.
Yeah. My dad used to have that bus down to a science. So if I didn't catch
that bus was a real one. They really don't even have that bus. Like, that shit's gone.
Yeah, the four is gone. It took a while for them to cancel though. They canceled that when I came back from graduating, like 2018. So I mean, that bus was around four.
They got rid of the number four bus, and then they put what was the 12?
I have no idea what that is.
It's the 12 or the six. I forgot. That kind of does that same route.
Oh, but it's the six because they have a 6L.
Yeah,
Lafayette Loop.
So I used to, honestly, my situation with the bus, even middle school, high school, it was very sporadic. Sometimes I had to catch the bus, sometimes I did not catch the bus, because I always lived in the area of like where we went to school at, kind of like I could walk without an issue, whereas you always lived a little, well, that's far,
kind of. I live far from all schools.
You do.
I live for every school, even elementary that was in my area. It was walkable, it's but it felt blocks. So far.
Are mad long, too. Yeah. So, I would just say, like, bus memories. And also, I'm trying to think of a specific one, a school memory. Just like in high school, I love how me and you just used to like get our bread up and like buy mad like lunch food. We would order food. We would order like pizza and Chinese. And when I tell you, I don't know what appetite I had as a teenager, but me and Aziza would dead ass eat a whole box of pizza.
Mm-hmm. We would eat a whole box of pizza. Us fuck up like that whole Chinese thing.
A whole Chinese plate, chicken wings,
like everything. Fries. Plus soda. Okay.
Plus soda. Sometimes I would get an egg roll. Like, yeah. I would eat the whole
thing. I would give you my egg roll and you would eat that too.
Like, literally, we used to eat the whole... You know how much food... I literally can only eat, like, two slices now. And I... Or Chinese, baby, that's, like, two meals in one.
For me, like, my appetite didn't slow down, but it's, like, I had to slow down. I don't have the same metabolism as I did in high school. But, like, I could technically still eat that much. But, like, I can't believe I was that skinny eating like that.
Yo, we used to just go get dead order. And obviously we in high school, we don't have no money like that. But so I mean, sure, at least once a week. At least once a week we would get outside food.
Yeah.
That was like so fun.
We literally would like, it took so long to count. We had to make sure we count every single cookie.
Yes. And we wanted to always give them like a dollar.
Yeah. Tip. At least. So it was like, okay, we got to really calculate this because money was tight for me. Like, it was, I had to make sure we had it.
Yeah. Aziza used to be. But my thing is, you used to give money, but you was very stingy. To this day, you are a stingy hell with your money. So I'll be like, bro, like, let's get some food. I always was down to get food because I love me some pizza and some Chinese food, child. Aziza be like, I don't know. Like, girl, you know you got allowance.
But I didn't like when people kept coming up to us asking for food. No, I don't want to
even if we did finish it, we still didn't. We would be like, no, sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to feed everybody because you feed them once, they keep coming back.
They keep coming back, sweetie. And clearly we went to school with racists. So y'all don't deserve it.
We lucky we didn't, you know?
We lucky we didn't. Us. Period. Ride or dies. Period.
That is so funny that you said that because I just got into an argument with my little brother. He claims that I had all the money in high school. And I was
definitely not. I would say your dad was very, like, strict with it. But you used to get money, but you just was picky about what you spent it on. That was the thing.
He was like, you used to get money. I don't get no money. I'm like, boy, please. Just so I could buy him some stupid shit on Fortnite.
Oh, no.
Anyway. Side note, but
yeah, those was our school. We always are going to talk about school because obviously we went to school together. We even did a year of college together, so imagine.
Yeah, so we have.
And I dormed. And Aziza would stay at my dorm all the time. We have some stories for that. We have a lot, so we'll come back to it eventually.
Yeah, but we literally was together. If you really think about it, we were together all the way from sixth grade, and then all of a sudden, what did I do? I go abroad. Can you imagine? Like,
you went abroad. Because even when I transferred schools, like, it was like, okay, but, like, you went abroad sophomore year, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah. We had all that time together, and then, and, like, all that summer, because we were both home, and then, boom, I went abroad. And I feel like from then, it was like, that's when we kind of had a little bit more separation.
I used to call you all the time. I never missed you so much in life. Because you know I don't be, you be getting on.
That's what I'm saying. That's the first time. Like, that's the first time we really went a long period. Like, that's like 4 months.
It was a long time. I was like, oh my God.
I used to have to call you and give you.
And then it was the time difference. This girl went to Italy. So it was the time difference. I had to be like, oh my God. Like, I got to
plan it out.
It was annoying.
And then I would have to update you on my life because it was just so hectic. It was crazy. But yeah. We have many memories.
We have a lot. We'll come back.
We are still like finding photos and videos, like when we go in our Google Photos, we'll find different things from high school or mostly high school, and we'll just be like, oh my God, you remember this time when we did this and this? So,
yeah, very crazy.
Always reminiscing.
We were some very wild children, but we'll come back to that. Anyway, final topic, Insecure.
We just watched this week's episode 8. Low-key happy. And we are so fucking happy after watching this episode.
And I'm such a traitor because I was the main one talking about, bye, Issa and Lawrence don't need to be together. They don't need to go back. We need to move forward. We're not going back to our exes, period. Because I don't like them.
Fighting for them. I fought for them for the longest. Like, please, Issa and Lawrence.
Like, why are we? I was always just like, why do y'all want to, like, glamorize this going back to your ex? Like, it's just not realistic. Like, it's cool. They could be cool. I don't mind being cool with the ex, but, like, wanting them back. Why we gotta glamorize that?
Because it didn't end on no extremely disrespectful shit. Don't get me wrong. Issa is definitely fucked up. She cheated. Don't get me wrong. But we not talking about certain things that we know has happened in different relationships, like have a baby and break babies and all type. We're not talking about nothing crazy like that. We're talking about...
Oh, baby, it was cheating, though. Come on now.
Okay, but...
Not okay, but
I know, because I just feel like it was an emotional thing for her because of how she was feeling, like she wasn't getting what she needed, and she is wrong because she should have communicated this. But I just think that this is something that you could come back from. Yeah. This is not something like when Nick Young went back to his baby mama and had another baby.
Girl, not Swaggy P.
This is not something Swaggy like P. That. We not talking about that, you know? That's all I'm saying. But let's continue. So the episode opens up. We knew that Lawrence had called somebody asking to meet up from last episode. Right. We didn't know who it was, but we made a guess it was Issa, and we were correct. He invited her out to drink. And typical Issa, first things first, falls right on her ass. Smack down on the floor, being awkward girl, awkward Issa that she is. And we just have to laugh, but we have to appreciate the outfit.
She looked good.
She came looking good. She came ready to slay.
And it's like, okay? It's such a difference. I feel like we really need to take a moment and highlight old Issa versus new Issa. If you get the chance, please just go back and watch like one or two episodes from like the first or second season.
Yeah, season one.
Issa was totally like, she's a totally different woman.
She has grown up
physically, confidence wise.
Yep, she is carrying herself so much better. It seems like since the block party, and even before the actual block party, but seeing the missing pieces work together for the block party is really giving her that confidence and that feeling that she is on the path of doing something that she feels like is her life's passion.
Yeah,
to do, and it's really giving her so much more happiness versus when she was unhappy at We Got Y'all.
Yeah,
because she didn't feel fulfilled. So yeah, you're definitely correct there. I feel like this new Issa is definitely ready to conquer the world. I just need her to get her man Lawrence back, please God.
They're gonna end up together. Worked so well, but I feel like just where they both are in life is two different places, right? So let's try to like
fit together.
Let's try to get into it.
Because we start to get into where they are. Well, first they start to get into what went wrong in their relationship at the
No. Even before that, we have to address the fact of Lawrence is in a very unstable place. Like, obviously financially career-wise, he's fine.
Yeah,
he has money now. He's much more. I feel like his ego isn't being like stunted as it was before. In some ways he has the upper hand, right? Because he has a choice. He has Issa,
and he still has Kandula. Because Kandula, by the way, keeps calling and texting throughout the episode.
Even though they broke up. So it's like, is it him though? Is it him that's trying to figure out why? Because he said, I want to figure out if I give up on things too easy.
I think he definitely hit her up before. Like, he was definitely the initiator in that, for sure. Because he's definitely trying to figure out what he wants and where he sees himself in the future, especially with the uncertainty in his job. He's trying to get more clarity in his love life. I agree. I'm just happy that he even thought to even consider Issa, like not on some like, nah, that's 100% done. I'm never going back.
Yeah, it's whatever. Very
whatever. Anyway, she really hate this idea, and it's like, girl,
no, I don't hate it, bro. I was smiling the episode. I even teared up, child. Y'all know I'm a Cancer. I tear up when they. Okay, I'm jumping the gun, but I'm gonna tell y'all when I teared up. First of all, let's get to first them at the bar. He orders her drink. Like, he remembers her drink. She's like, nah, I upgraded a little bit.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I do want to try that Prosecco with a shot of vodka. Interesting.
I'm not doing vodka, but
I'm gonna try it.
What was the other? It was Prosecco with what?
Whiskey.
And you know, it's still the same basis, but she's like, I'm on vodka now. Like,
Yeah, like a more expensive
like still me drink. Essentially, but like I'm more pricey, like, you know.
Yeah, pricey. Which
I feel like it's a lot of details in Insecure that people should pay attention to, like even like the name of the episode. I was watching this girl, her name is Just Latasha on YouTube. If you want to hear like a breakdown of Insecure from like a just like an aesthetic point of view, she's really good at that. Like the name of the episode is Low Key Happy, and they drop that happy aspect into the whole episode. Like have her, they go to the art walk and they have the piece and it's like happiness, they're talking about happiness. She's like, I'm trying to figure out what happiness means for me. She asks him, is he happy? They have the waitress
to see him say that he's happier in teams versus
that
versus as an entrepreneur or doing his own thing. That was big, especially for someone like him with his ego, you know. That was
symbolic. And I think it also goes to show that I've always said this, I feel like Lawrence is very, he doesn't like being single. He wants to always have somebody there, even if it's not a concrete relationship. He always has somebody there. Yes. So I feel like that was very important.
That's something that he just feels like he needs. Like he feel like his life is not complete without it, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like he should have every aspect of his life got to be, in his eyes, perfect. So, or else he just feels less than.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
And also you were saying the waitress name at the restaurant, her name was Joy.
Joy.
Place those little things everywhere.
And even when, fast forward to when they had that conversation in his house, they're saying, like, you make me happy. This time we spent together made me very happy. Like, we make each other happy, basically. So I really, really like that a lot.
Yeah. And I just love seeing them talk civilly about what happened in their relationship. Like, I feel like for the first time, you know, I think they said it too. It was like, this is the first time we're actually able to really speak in depth about how we felt at the time. And to know that one person, this is the first time we really realized, like, he really was dealing with some level of depression.
Mm-hmm.
Because we definitely called him a bum all through season one.
Yeah. And
chalked it up to him wanting to be a bum versus him dealing with something that affected him mentally. So does that give him a, I don't want to say a pass, but just...
it's more understanding.
I feel like it makes us look at him differently when it came to the beginning of their relationship. And then he said to Issa, you feel like an asshole now, don't you? Like,
right, yeah.
That was like, that hit home for me as well. Like, that moment where you realize that you didn't see things the way that you thought you saw them, and you were missing so much other details that really could have changed how things went in the past. But you can't change the past.
Mm-hmm. You can't change the past, but I love how positive this episode was. Like I said, a lot of people don't have positive relationship with their exes or people they used to date or whatever. And I feel like this just showed, like, it could be cool. Like, y'all can have a good night, have fun, reminisce without it being all weird. Issa literally woke up the next day. First of all, let's talk about the boss move. She said, but what if I don't want to leave?
Yes, she realized, because it was like the way that he came into the house and she was just standing there and just knew what was going on. Like, he was on the phone with Condola. It was like she said, I got to make my decision. Am I going home and saying this is done and I'm not going to make a chance? I'm not going to try and this could be my last chance? Or am I going to fucking be like, you know what, boss the fuck up and say, no, I want him the way Condola did that night on episode one or two.
Right.
When she went and got her man in the beginning of the season, Issa said she got to get her man. And I respect it. And she got her man.
Yeah.
For the night.
But, yeah, for the night. I feel like that's important to know. Because still, the way she even walked out was so bossed up. She was like, I'm good. Like, are you good? Like, she's at, like, are you good? Though?
She was, like, at peace.
Yeah.
And I was watching the wind down that happens where Issa and the writers discussed the episode. And they were saying, you know, at this point, Issa feels so complete that it can go either way. She could either say, okay, we're good. We got the closure that we need.
She's good with him or without him because she's been doing her thing. She's not focused on that.
Exactly. So either we're going to have closure or we're going to have a spark of a new relationship. So we got to figure out which way they end up going, but it's not something that is of too much of importance to her, because when we look at the trailer for next episode, we realize what is truly important to her is her relationship with Molly.
With Molly, right.
So we'll have to dissect that next episode, but I'm just so happy to see.
It was a beautiful episode. It was shot so beautifully.
So beautifully. The writing was amazing.
The color, the artwork. When they was going through the cloud thing, girl,
How about when he turned around and the background was like this neon thing. And
it was like red and
yeah, like red and yellow or something. Yeah. And it just made their bodies just pop out so much more. Like, that is like screenshot worthy.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I loved their jokes. I love the fact that Larry showed up in this episode.
Oh, God.
He couldn't wait to let it be known that he used to hit that.
He had a whole new girl. He is so tacky, child. So
tacky. But you see, he missed that. He got to miss that because he said that so proudly. Like, I used to hit, like. I couldn't imagine being the new girl.
She didn't even care. She was in her phone like, come on, let's go. Like, we late.
Exactly. I that shit was crazy. But it was so funny, like, how awkward Issa felt and how Lawrence was able to, like, play on that. And it was just so cute and fun. Just the way they played on that. Like, it was so... I just love them together. I really wish they'll come together and make it work. And we'll see how they... And I'm hoping that we get to see how they make it work next season. That's my hope. Is that they real... Because it's only two episodes left in the season.
Yeah, it is.
And obviously next episode is focused on her and Molly. So I'm just hoping that they decide to make them start rebuilding their shit. And next season shows how they do that. But... Who knows? Because she was definitely at Nathan's house while Molly was on vacation.
Yeah. So. We'll see. I'm excited. That means the next two episodes about to be crucial.
Very crucial. I just hope Molly... I hope they have Molly show some growth like Issa done show some growth, because I'm tired of this. And I really wanted it to be Molly to hit up Issa. And this is pissing me off that Issa actually ended up having to reach out again. It's so annoying.
Very annoying.
So I'm hoping she shows some growth, but it's not looking like she did with her conversation with Andrew.
Yeah,
same with Molly so far in the trailer. So we'll have to revisit that next week. But for now, definitely let us know. Are you team Issa? Are you team Issa and Lawrence? Or do you just want them to just, you know, have this moment and say, you know what,
we'll be friends.
Just think about it, guys. I mean, 5 years, same friends. I want them together.
Anyway.
Even if he ends up having to move away, like, just make it work.
No, sweetie, it's not that easy. Anyway, let us know what y'all think about Insecure. So we gonna move on to song of the week. Song of the week, song of the week.
Hey.
So what's your song?
So my song of the week is from K-Camp. It's called Rude Boy. And it's off his new album, Kiss 5.
Period.
Honestly, y'all, the entire album, from start to finish, is a bop. He has Wale on there. He has Ari doing a little like snippet on there, and it's not really feature heavy, but it's just such a good album. Like both of us actually play it no skips. Like,
it's good. It's really good.
So adding Rude Boy on there, Zaria already added Ice Cold from the album in a previous week.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much we love this album. I think this is a first that we have two songs from an album on our playlist. So
yeah, probably. Check shout out to K-Camp.
K-Camp, we love him. Like he really put out a really good album. It's a little overlooked a little bit just because of like all the other albums that have been coming out. But I'm telling you guys, definitely check it out.
Yeah. Love K-Camp's album. Love K-Camp in general. Yeah. His music is really good. It's been good. Been quality.
Been good. And we really want to just, you know, we be trying to give people their flowers.
Yeah. Shout out to K-Camp. My song of the week is Water by Kehlani off of her album. Her album is It Was Good Until It Wasn't. So good, the whole album. I love it. I was gonna do Can I, but I feel like that's so like basic. Y'all should listen to other songs off the album, because I definitely feel like Can I is gonna be a single.
It definitely is. It has to be. Yeah. It's already top five on Spotify.
Yeah, so listen to Water. She on here talking her shit about the water signs. You know me. I'm a Cancer. We got to give it up.
I was like, oh, here she goes. She thinks she got
to answer. She's giving it up to the water signs. And that's on period because we the best.
Oh, my God. Can somebody make a fire sign song?
No, because y'all crazy and annoying.
Whatever. Yeah, that song is really good.
It's really good. Love it. She said, I let you finish on a tat. It says tsunami. Buzz down on your future baby.
Future mommy. Baby mommy. Hey.
Period.
That's my part. You guys are definitely going to enjoy it.
Love that song. So that's it for the episode. We love y'all. Honestly, we don't know when we finna come back. Please. Sorry. We're going to do a lot. It's a quarantine.
For real. Well, we're just so happy that with just all the engagement that we've been seeing, we see y'all on social media. You guys are engaging our polls.
Yes, our surveys be going up.
Followers, all that. We see it all, and we really, 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 really appreciate it.
Love y'all.
Keep it coming.
Keep it coming.
If you enjoy podcast, you know, share it with a friend. A lot of people are home right now.
Share it with a friend and then tell them to share with their friends. We are very close to an important goal to us, so it would be very cool if y'all help us reach that goal as soon as possible. We also want to reach a certain goal on Instagram, so make sure you follow us on Instagram. We post a lot of like cool stuff on there. Our surveys are, you know, all that.
Clips. All clips.
We do video clips. We have video clips. We have a YouTube channel, The Noir Girl Experience Podcast on YouTube. So subscribe. Help us get to 100 subscribers on YouTube. We only have like a few clips on there, but as time goes on, we'll upload more because we do have video footage of a few of the episodes, actually. So, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram at The Noir Girl Experience. Follow us on Twitter, Noir Girl EXP. Like our Facebook page, The Noir Girl Experience. Mm-hmm. What else? You could follow me, Zaria, on Instagram at Hey It's Poochie.
You can follow me on Instagram as well at Aziza M. But also on our link tree, we have so many different links. Like if you do have us on Instagram or do find us on Instagram, we have it connected to our Curious Cat, which will allow you to actually post anonymously different questions you'd like to hear us to answer or topics you'd like to hear us discuss. And it's all anonymous. You don't have to be worried about that, but you can have a link to our Curious Cat. So
that's
cool too.
Yes, if you have anything you want us to talk about in future episodes, feel free to DM us or, like she said, write to our Curious Cat. Again, make sure that you rate and leave a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. It's super, super, super duper important. And we have a playlist that's available on Spotify and Apple Music. The old version of it is still on Tidal if you care to listen to that, but we don't update that one because I don't pay for that shit no more, sweetie.
Yeah, don't worry, Spotify listeners. I won't cancel and leave you like she did.
Sorry, I can't pay for both. I'm not rich. Sorry, one of y'all want to cash app us and or give us y'all Tidal, we will do it on Tidal. But until then, no, it's Spotify and Apple Music, which I feel like most people have.
Yeah.
Those are the top two streaming sites.
Yeah. But we have so many exciting news coming up, different things that we're really trying to...
Oh, yes, yes.
We're really trying to get into.
A lot of cool stuff coming up.
Yep, so definitely stay tuned. We can't wait to share with you. Definitely follow my beauty line, Aura Rouge Beauty.
Period. New colors available now. Y'all better buy it. That's the difference.
We got nude colors. We got bold colors. We got highlighters for those who are not into lipsticks. So we have a nice variety of products for you guys at affordable prices. So definitely check me out at Aura Rouge Beauty. Thank y'all.
Thank you. Love you guys so much.
Can't wait to talk again.
Love y'all. For real, for real. For rocking with us.
It's been a long time.
It really ain't been that long, to be honest, but it feels like a long time.
Yeah, no, it hasn't. But the quarantine that made it feel like forever.
Yeah, it really has.
But talk to y'all later.
Bye. Love you. Bye.